Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's pick our Bibles and let me prophesy a little. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's pick up a text, then we sit down. And let me read verse 19 and verse 20. I will read four scriptures before we sit down. The first one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. The second one is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. And the second one is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Of these three scriptures, we will find our bearing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, 1 verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Verse 6 and verse 7. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word in Jesus' name. God bless you. Be seated. Amen. There is a revival that is going on now. There is a revival that is going on now. It is the bride's revival. Hallelujah. It is the bride's revival. Praise the Lord. And I'm happy to be part of that revival. Amen. They said there are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. In the morning now within my heart, all glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I can say I am one of them. He said, though these people, they don't go to Bible school, may not learn and be no boast of worldly faith, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both word of God, His power is yet the same. Yes, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Are you one of them?
Oh, one of them.
I am one of them.
I'm so glad,
I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
One of them, say,
one of them.
I am one of them.
I am one of them.
I'm so glad I can say,
I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
The song that says, come my brother, with this blessing that
thou set your heart from sin. Thou start that joy bell ringing, and we kill the soul aflame. It's burning now within my heart, all glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah. Where
Never did you ever hear the enter message preached anywhere since after the departure of William Branham. That people are watching on television, oh, they are receiving Holy Ghost. They are not here. Oh. Nobody lay hand on them. Oh. Praise the Lord. Just watching on them, they watch. Oh. Amen. Hallelujah. And this revival that is going on, be very, very careful. I say it, and I'm saying it seriously. Be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. This is the last move. God is not reserving anything for another age. Not reserving anything for another age. Be very careful. Be careful. And these are some of the things we want to talk about. The revival that is going on is likened to the story of Rebecca, the marriage of Rebecca. Abraham sent his servant. Amen. Hallelujah. There's something I note about that story. There's something I note about that story. Very, very important. Now, Pastor Weston tried to bring it up. In a statement he made, he called my attention to it. That man, Eliezer, has been a servant of Abraham for years. But there was a special assignment to be given. Go and get a wife for my son. But before you do that, he said, hold my tithe and swear. All other assignment he gave Eliezer, he didn't have to swear. But this assignment is so important. He had to make him enter a covenant, swear that you will do it exactly as I will tell you to do. Don't go and bring anyhow your wife to me, to my son. The type of bride that Eliezer is going to bring for Isaac. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The father has an expectation of how that bride should look like. Character. Character. The emphasis is character. Hallelujah. And we saw how Rebecca qualified. It's so important you take note of these things. These stories are there for us to learn how to walk with God. But the aspect I'm going for today is Eliezer now, a type of the seven-star messengers for each age, producing the bride for Christ. He had been telling Rebecca, about, enter message believers. I don't know why they cannot learn this. Amen. They were discussing from where he went to pick her on the way, sitting on top of a camel. Oh, Jesus. On top of a camel. They must have been discussing. Eliezer was not talking about himself to her. He does not need to know anything about Eliezer. Sir, he doesn't need to know the birth date of Eliezer. He doesn't need to know when Abraham employed Eliezer. He doesn't need to know how he was called. What Rebecca is interested in is to know the person you say you are sending me to, how does he look like? To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth and on earth. To be like him. A true life's journey. From earth to glory. My only yes. To be like him. To be like him. How will you be like him when you don't know how he looks like? How will you be like somebody you don't know how he looks like? That's the problem with Christianity. Our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That is your destiny. God call you so that he will mold you into an image that we lost in the Garden of Eden. Let us create, make man in our image and in our likeness. We lost that image. We lost that likeness. And we lost, how did he want us to be? We didn't know until he gave us an image that will let us know what he meant. That image is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, he said, Christ is the image of the invisible God. How God wanted us to be like, that is it. I am the way, the truth and the life. You can never get to the Father except through him. He is the way, the lifestyle. It's all, everything about him. What he was saying, how he lived his life. That is how we are supposed to copy. The creator of the heavens and the earth came down in a man. Humble himself. God was sleeping with man. Woke up with man. Descended himself. Came through a human being. To demonstrate something among us. Serene and holy. Obedient. Low. Very lowly.
All I am.
On earth I long.
To be like you.
To be like him.
By grace forgiven.
By grace forgiven.
For the hell of heaven.
Rebecca was coming. Eliezer brought. Suddenly, the Bible says, it was in the cool of the evening. It was in the evening. Why evening? Because that is the end of the day. Oh. Hallelujah. Isaac came out to the field. I look over Jordan. What did I see?
Coming for to carry me home.
A band of angels
coming after me.
Hey,
coming for to carry me.
Oh, hallelujah.
Sweet glow.
Sweet chariot.
Sweet chariot.
Call and hurrah.
Coming forth
to carry me forth.
Sweet glow. Sweet chariot.
I am thinking of the rapture
in the blessed heaven.
When I meet
at Calvary,
oh yeah,
I will raise the heavenly altar in the city in the sky. When the weak
gathering in.
Somebody here, I'm going
to sing. Hallelujah.
When the weak are gathering in.
Wash like snow.
Wash like snow.
Free from sin.
Free from sin.
I will shout.
I will shout.
I will sing.
I will sing.
When, yeah.
When the weeping
are gathering in,
joyful, joyful,
we shall meet.
Where from sin?
Where from sin?
A heart of
pure,
and we shall gather.
And we shall gather.
Savior with me.
The wheat and tares. Oh yes, I'm talking to the wheat and tares. And quickly, please let me tell you people something. Serpent seeds, they are not in the beer palo. Okay. Oh. Serpent seeds are religious people. The serpent seed and the seed of God, Cain and Abel, they were in the same church. So take note of it. If not, you will be stumbled by certain people's action in your church. Just take note that there are wheat and there are tares. Amen. There are wheat and there are tares, and by their fruits you shall know them. Praise the Lord. Listen carefully. There is a revival that is going on now, and it is a revival that takes place, the kind of joy that a young girl, hallelujah, is so much in love with a young man. Take note. She must be in love. If not, the marriage will not be meaningful. What drives her out of her father's house? The anxiety to leave her father's house and be with that man is love. It's love. Oh. No matter how wealthy she is at home, the home may be as comfortable as anything. Hallelujah. She still desires to leave that home and go and be in that room and parlor with that man. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Love, love, love. And we are saying that the marriage is coming, and there is nothing in you that makes you look up in expectation for the coming of the Lord by the lifestyle reflected in the lifestyle you live. I doubt if you are ready for that marriage. Doubt it. See now, come to church. See how you are dragging to come. But you know you will be in Ladiko 7:30 a.m. from Shango. You know now. No, you know it now. You know now. Praise the Lord. You know. Hallelujah. Now, Rebecca was anxiously, she was looking for his coming. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Are you looking for his coming? Are you looking for his coming? It's not by mouth, oh. But the life that you live, more heavily. And what will give you the enablement to do that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the anchor. That is what is signified by those camels. It was not on the back of Eliezer Rebecca was riding. It was on the back of camel. And it's not Eliezer that owns those camels. Who owns the camel? His master. The power of the Holy Ghost that is backing us now to meet him. And in the evening, he came out. He was wondering, where the bride now? The Bible says, Rebecca asked Eliezer, who is that young man there? Hey! And he said, so shall it be. The days when the Son of Man shall be revealed. So shall it be when the Son of Man will be revealed. The Bible says so. Praise the Lord. And immediately, take note, character. Immediately, Rebecca said, Nahibidat. The Bible says, she came down from the horse. I mean from the camel. She veiled herself. Immediately, she veiled herself. Covered herself. Shamefacedness. Humility. Subjection. Before her husband. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know where I come from? These things are demonstrated even in our culture. When a young man, in those days, so not these days, where Nollywood and Hollywood have influenced us and destroyed all the virtues of our culture. You know? These days now, they don't even call you Papa again. They call you Popsy, Mamsy, Pale. Male. That's all. And we cannot do anything about it. When from my area you marry a wife, of course, you know how they even do. In the real culture, they don't even get to know themselves like that. They are arranged by two parents. And then, in my place, for a long time, I think it's even until the first child is delivered, before the woman can look at the husband face to face. Face to face. She can't call. You know, my elder sister visited me when we married newly. Evelyn, you remember? And then she was sitting down there, my wife, when she asked her, where am I? Then she shouted my name. Moses, my elder sister said, hey, you call his name. And she didn't know what he meant. She grew up in Lagos. My place. When they ask you, what's your husband's name? Nahim, I see him now. Hallelujah. You know, Christians can learn some of these things. Hallelujah. Before your husband, you're supposed to be very humble. The Bible says so. The Bible expects it so. But these days, after they join them on the way, going inside motor, some of them, they fight. When they reach home, finish. Fight. They are settling the matter that took place during reception. Why you can't talk like that? When they say, straight forth your hand, you can't do like this. Then somebody they put ring. They say, you just disgrace me. They say, make you talk like this. You can't talk like this. You know, some of you speak English. You can't disgrace me for open. Then they fight. Then they fight. No. Christ and his church does not expect us to be like that. And that posture of humility lets you understand why Peter was reminding us of how Sarah called Abraham. What did she call Abraham? My Lord. It's not by mouth. It was a posture. You are the final say. Not this one now. Come and see. Fight. And then you carry Bible. God will help us. And that same thing, you see them quarreling with God. People quarrel with God. People give God ultimatum. People give God, if you do this for me, if you answer this my prayer, I will come to the altar and roll. I will roll for you. So when you roll for God, then what will happen? When your cloth dirty, then God will be happy because God enjoys you being dirty. Happy? More than that. In fact, just tell God what God wants you to. Yes, Lord, if you do this for me, I will serve you better. Ha! God will say, hey, now this guy what I want. Hey. I will make sure, in fact, I will renew my covenant. I will make sure, although things what they do before, I will make sure when they disgrace you, I will not do it again. That's the kind of thing you should be talking to God. Not be telling him, Father, if you do this for me, I will bring 10 bags of cement. I'll bring 10 bags of cement if you do this for me. Then when he does it for you, you have dropped the 10 bags of cement. Then you are telling God, I don't do amu. I don't give you the 10 bags, so I don't get problem with you again. No, leave me, make I live my life for the go. I don't say to you. Which God is that? The bride can never be like that. The bride of Jesus Christ wants to do things that 24 hours he will be pleased with you. Pleased with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that is the kind of revival that is on. Rebecca has cited Isaac. That is the revival that is on now. Preparing us to cite Master Jesus. That we have been serving him. That we have made all this sacrifice. Therefore, my exhortation to every one of us, those of you watching us online, on the television, you are here present, is that verse 19, quench not the spirit. Now, today, we shall look at three things that the Bible says can make you quench the spirit. And they are all in the scriptures we have just read. Number one, praise the Lord. Verse 20, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. Number one, the things that can make the spirit that you have received. When they say quench not the spirit, that is, don't quench the revival that is on. Don't quench it. Number one, hallelujah, verse 20. It says, despise not prophesying. Don't despise the manifestations of the Spirit. Don't despise it. What is it to despise? It's to look down on it. Downplay it. Not make it look important. As if it is not important. And that is what most intermediate churches are suffering from. They have despised the gifts of the Holy Ghost. They have despised the revival. Because they say they have 40 funny scriptures to quote to support their carnality. When you despise him, you quench the revival. Oh, glory be to God. He said, despise no prophesying. When God wants to move in any setting, the first gift that always bursts out is the gift of prophecy. The first gift, he always uses prophecy. Because through this prophecy, he's going to set things in order. Through this prophecy, he is going to announce his presence. Through the means of prophecy, he is going to be communicating to his people. So don't despise it. For it is written in Amos chapter 3 verse 7, that he, God, will do nothing. But he revealed it to his servants, the prophets. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He will not do anything. Nothing will take us by surprise if you allow that gift to take its rightful place in a ministry. I said this because we belong to groups and there are group leaders, house fellowships, prayer groups, one group or the other. Every group you are, including even your own house, even your own house. Your own devotional time in your house. Several times, during our morning devotion in my house, some time ago, when we took it more seriously, any time we gather like this, we are praying. Morning prayers.
And until we come down, we shall hear thus said the Lord. Something God will reveal and expose.
Don't despise the gifts. When we come together like this in house fellowship, we want to ask, did anybody have any dream? Because every dream is a revelation from God for us to pick in prayers. If you don't believe in it, then you are quenching the spirit. You will silence the spirit. He will not move anymore, and you become statue. And those who have these gifts, they are the spiritual watchmen. Anything that wants to happen, God will reveal it through them. And He has no age barrier when He wants to operate these gifts. Young and old, man or woman, can use anybody He desires to use. So that little child that tells you, Daddy, I was in a dream, I saw this. Daddy, I enter kitchen now. I see one man, he stand there, they look at me. Daddy, I hear this. And you are saying, shut up. What did they see? Shut up. You are quenching that gift. You are quenching that gift. What you have to do is to pay attention to that child and guide the child accordingly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it's a common thing even in the body of Christ. As even in Israel. One or two examples. We notice in Jeremiah chapter 32. Let's read it. Jeremiah chapter 32. There was a reference that Jeremiah was making from verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 32. It says, the word from verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then, at that time, the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. Why was he put in that prison? This is the reason. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it? Jeremiah prophesied earlier, thus saith the Lord, oh God, they say, this city, Jerusalem, the king of Babylon, we come and pack all of us. We shall all go in captivity. We shall be there for 70 years before he will release us. And the king despised that prophecy. Pack him. Why should you come and give that useless prophecy? And this is what many pastors do. They will pack that vessel aside. They will even attack that vessel. Make you look as if you have committed sin by giving what you received. And before you know what, praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 4. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, this was a prophecy. He said, and Zedekiah, the king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon. You lead the king to Babylon. And there shall he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not prosper. King vex. Put up a prison. You have despised prophecy. You will pay for it, because shortly after, this prophecy came to pass. Another one was Ahab. We know the story. When Micaiah came and told him, concerning the battle you are going in Ramoth Gilead, this is what I saw. Contrary to all your prophets are saying, I see Israel scattered as sheep without a shepherd. The Lord said, everyone should go back to his house. And one senior prophet, he came there and slapped him. Where did the Lord leave me to come and talk to you? Do you know there are pastors that believe that if God is going to talk to the church, it must come through them? If it's not from them, then they despise it. And when you despise that, you are quenching the spirit, because those vessels will not be able to act again, will not be able to walk again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the truth about it is that before you know what, you will pay for it. Always, the type of prophecy people don't take is the type of prophecy of warning. Instead of you to repent or take heed to the warning being given to you, you will vex. You will vex. Especially pastor when they do bad thing. Minister when they do bad thing. Like Ahab. Ahab will never like Micaiah. Praise God. And when you despise that, you will pay for it, because God will not talk to you again. And then don't be so spiritual. Don't be too spiritual until God is warning you. You say you are going to the village to do family deliverance, and then one unknown brother or sister say, thus said the Lord. The Lord say, if you go to the village where you are going now, that shrine, they are going, it will deal with you, so don't go now. Then you say, Kai, I am a deliverance minister. Go and find out who Festus is. How can you say I cannot go? That was what happened to Apostle Paul. Let's read his own in Acts chapter 21. That his own is very, very interesting. Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 21. Let me read it from verse 7. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, his belt, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus said the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that oweth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we had these things, both we and they of that place besought him, Paul, not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean you to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he will not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Read further. This man that said, why not they cry for me? Not be only priestly, I'm ready to die. Read later. When they finished dealing with him, when they go to Jerusalem, read the story down. Some people swore and bound themselves with an oath. They will not rest until they kill him. They went to the priest and said, go and deceive the centurion holding him, that you should say they should bring him, that you want to ask something from him, so that when he's coming, we shall waylay him on the way and kill him. Then the Bible says his sister's daughter also, sister's son, had them and went and revealed it. Why Paul, why you not tell and say, if they lie, may they kill me? He said, go tell this girl. Amen. And you know what happened. Even another time, he was ready to die. If you read more, there was a time he had to escape through window. So he said, you go die. They said, don't go. You say, I will go. No, well, I will go. Amen. Now that is not spirituality. You are despising that. Thus said the Lord is thus said the Lord. The God you are serving is not him that is speaking. Is not the one you are serving. He said, don't go. Amen. That is it. What is this adage? Different strokes, Abby, for different folks. Praise the Lord. Some, God will say, go. They will say, I no go. Another one, God will say, go. No go. He say, I must go. All in the kingdom. Praise the Lord. If he say, go, and you no go, you will pay for it. Because you have despised prophecy. And if you say, don't go, you say, I must go. It is not your calling, or not now, it is not yet time. You say, no, I'm ready to die. Be ready to die, because God will step aside. Child, don't tell you not to go. You cry and suffer for nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because the gift of prophecy, especially, and not just prophecy, all gifts of the Spirit in the body. It is for edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3. Spell them out. For edification of the body of Christ. It is for exhortation. And it is for comfort. To comfort you. Thus saith the Lord. And then the matter is brought out. Hallelujah. And when you are confused through that prophecy, you have a bearing, you have a direction, you are comforted. God can never leave his people in confusion. Once you are confused through these gifts, he lines you up. So if you despise it, you will live in confusion in that church. In your own life too. Praise the Lord. Now the second thing that quenches the spirit, hallelujah, is 1 Timothy chapter 4, where we read. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Neglecting the gift. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14. He said, neglect not the gift. This is to you now, in particular. Don't neglect the gift. That means you know you have a gift. If you don't know, it's a different thing. But that you know you have a gift. And these gifts are any of those gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Once you know you have a gift, he said, don't neglect it. Watch over that gift. Pray always concerning that gift. When you say don't neglect it, Apostle Paul, praise God. His own way of putting it up is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, where we read, he says, steer up the gift that is in thee. Steer it up. Don't let it remain dormant. A gift can be dormant. And always take note. We say quench. We're talking about quenching. Quenching here is silencing. That does not remove the gift. Once God has given you a gift, he doesn't take it back. But that gift can be dormant. And we can learn even from the secular world. When you don't operate your account for some time, what happened to that account? Eh? The account will be declared dormant. Hey. Hallelujah. The account is never closed. So it is still your account. In fact, one interesting thing about dormant accounts is that it can still receive. But it cannot give out. Praise the Lord. I went to the bank one day. I received some money. A domiciliary account. Well, I've been dropping money there. They didn't tell me it is dormant. Come activate it. The day I went to draw, then they said, oh, sorry, your card is dormant. I said, you people are not serious. How about you give me my money? They said, no, it's dormant. I said, if it's dormant, then why would they collect my money? So there must be a process. There is a process you undergo to reactivate it. If there's anybody with a dormant gift, there is a process. Amen. To activate it. And he told Timothy that he should exercise himself unto godliness. He told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you read verse 7 and verse 8, you can see it clearly there that you should put it in practice. Get that gift active. Get it active. You have a healing gift. Be praying for sick people. If you don't pray for sick people, those of us, you know, who, when we started, you know, with these gifts, you know how mighty healings were taking place. Then after some time, you decided man must work. Then began to face your business and neglected praying for people. After some time, when you want to come back now to start to pray for sick people, you will discover your account is dormant. You can't operate it. You can't operate it. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so he says, tear up the gift that is in thee. Any farm that you neglect, you plant something in a farm and you neglect the farm, what will happen? If you don't go back to check the weeds, what will happen? The weeds will grow and cover the seeds that you planted in them. And there's something peculiar about weeds. They grow faster than the real seed you plant. I hope you understand. They grow faster. Amen. And so, you have to watch to make sure you go regularly to remove all the nyama. That's why he said, watch and pray. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.